bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbille. And now, today's word.
And today I'm speaking on endurance. Endurance. Between what God tells you now and its fulfillment, there is a waiting period. Between your dream and its fulfillment, there is a waiting period. Between hope and realization, there is a waiting period. To survive in that waiting period so that you can hold on to receive what you are expecting, you need endurance. Many people receive a promise of hope with excitement, but very soon they lose their energy and their staying power as they wait for the fulfillment of their hopes. Noah was in that space of hope and fulfillment when God told him to construct an ark, that there was going to be a flood. And for 120 years, he was waiting for that flood. But Noah never gave up. He stayed, and the flood came, and his family was saved. He had endurance. Abraham was in that space between promise and fulfillment when God told him at the age of 75 that he was going to be the father of many nations, and he waited till he was 100, 25 years of waiting between promise and fulfillment. And whilst he was waiting, he was growing old, his wife was growing old, but he had to wait for the fulfillment of that prophecy. He needed endurance. David was in that space between promise and fulfillment when he was anointed as king. But for 17 years, he was running away from Saul and running away for his life as a refugee in a strange land, sometimes even pretending to be a madman. David needed endurance between promise and fulfillment. Hannah was in that space between promise and fulfillment when she married for years without a child and had to contend with the taunts of and the ridicule of her rival. Hannah needed endurance to receive Samuel. Nehemiah was in that same space between promise and fulfillment when Israel went into captivity and God said they were going to come back, but for years they were not coming back. And Nehemiah was a captive servant, but one day he received news and that took him back to the land of Israel to rebuild the wall. Between your promise and the fulfillment of that promise, you need endurance. Everybody say endurance. So what is endurance? What do we mean when we talk about endurance? Endurance is three things. Number one, it is the capacity to last or to withstand pressure. When we say somebody has endurance, it means that they are able to last. They are able to go the journey. They are able to stay. They have staying power and they are able to withstand pressure. Secondly, endurance is the ability to put up with things or circumstances without giving up. Many times in life, between your promise, your hope, your expectation, and the fulfillment, there will be the temptation to give up. But endurance is the ability to put up with things, with circumstances, without giving up. And thirdly, endurance is to have power over or to prevail over something, to overcome something. He who endures is one who is able to prevail, one who has power over, one who is able to put up with things or circumstances without giving up. If you have endurance, then you can survive in that space, that nebulous space of waiting for a promise to become a reality. When the excitement of the promise is over and you've gotten into the tedium of waiting, at that time, you need endurance. And I'm going to talk to you today about five areas that we need to endure in order to receive the promises of God. We're going to look at five conditions that we have to contend with in the space between the promise God has given to us and the fulfillment of that promise. Most of you are in that space. You know you have a promise. You know what you believe is going to happen, but it has not happened yet. And you are in that space and you are wondering, should I give up? Should I do something else? What is happening with my life? It is the space where you need endurance. For a marathon runner, endurance is the time between the time he starts the race and has a lot of stamina, and in between, when oxygen is depleted, when the muscles are weary, when the race is thin out and there are no partners to run with, when there is thirst, there is dryness, but he hasn't arrived yet. That space is the toughest space on earth, and you need endurance to survive in that place. So what are the things we have to endure? The first kind of endurance we need is the ability to endure hardship. To endure hardship. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul encourages the young man Timothy. He says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Endure hardship. Hardship in this particular verse is not just about difficulty, but the hardship that the Bible is talking about here has to do with disciplined training. Disciplined training. It is very interesting that in this passage, the Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of military training as the kind of endurance we have to have. The scripture encourages us to have a military mindset if we're going to endure. And if you have ever been in military training, I'm supposing that you can relate to this, but most of us have not been through military training, although at a point I almost became a soldier. Almost. Just saved by the bell. But I was almost on the verge of enlisting in the military. And in fact, my very good friend at that time, the two of us were going to go into the military. He went, and he's still in the Navy. He's a big shot in the Navy now. And I'm sure I would probably have been I was trying to go to the Air Force. But I didn't go. And the reason I didn't really go to the military, and my friend went, he went to the Navy, and I just ready to go for interview, and I just backed out. Because I was wondering, when I go through and become a soldier, when will I be a pastor? And I just looked at it and I just said, by the time I become a pastor, I'll be too old. So I just left it. But when my friend went to the military, he came and he had changed. First, his hairstyle had changed. I said, "What happened?" He says, "That's the first thing they do, they cut your hair." And he talked about the discipline they had to go through, about when to sleep, when to wake up, when to eat, how much time you have to eat. And oh, it was quite a pressured lifestyle. Because when you go into the military has a mindset. The first thing the military wants to do is to take fear from you and put courage into you. They want to make sure that you will not think as a person who needs to protect himself, but a person who has to protect other people. We hope the Ghana military functions that way. They take a person who acts in self-interest and help the person to act, to think of acting in the interest of his country. They take a person who lives his own life as he wants, follows his own routine, to now follow a regimented structure. The Bible says we must think like that if we are going to endure. We have to have a military kind of mindset, the discipline of the soldier. And how do we do that? In order for us to endure hardship, we have to adjust to a life of disciplined routines and habits. Your habits determine your destiny. Your routines are the engines that drive your life. If you're going to endure, you have to have a disciplined habit. And I think that's what my friend was trying to communicate to me, that when you go to the military, they try to change your civilian habits. Your habit of eating, when civilians want to eat, they sit down, wash their hands nicely, sit down well. If it's a nice restaurant, you put a nice apron or handkerchief or napkin on you. Cover yourself well. Choose your cutlery well. And smell the food and start cutting and conversing. By the time you go through, a bullet is in your head. What the military trains you to do is to eat as quickly as possible so that you can get on with the rest of your life. So they have to change all these habits, because your habits will determine your destiny. If you're going to endure, there are going to be changes in habits, changes in the things you do all the time. But not only in your habits, but in your routine. A routine is something you do always. It's the engine. When a car is driving, The driver sparks the car. And the moment he sparks the car, he puts an engine into process. And the engine is a routine. The pistons start working, injecting fuel, powering the system, and creating the motor to run. It's a routine, and it goes on and on and on and on. The driver is not even aware of it, but there is a routine. When the routine stops, the engine stops. Your heart follows a routine since You were in your mother's womb, it's been beating. Boom, boom. Well, when you were in there, it was beating. Boom, 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 boom. Then when you were born, it started going. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, boom, 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 boom. Now, if it goes boom, 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 you need a doctor. But if it goes boom, 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 it follows the routine. If your heart gets tired of routine, you have to say goodbye to your mommy and daddy. Because the routine is what keeps your body alive. Every human being must have something he does all the time, through thick, through fire, through cold, through excitement, through disappointment, through failure, through success. You do it all the time. That is a routine, and that is the engine to fuel your life. If you abandon the routines of your life, you cannot endure in the time of difficulty. In order to endure hardness, you must build mental and physical capacity to stand pressure. The way you think, the way you feel, the way you process what is going on around you, all of these have to do with the mind, mental discipline. I like mental discipline, and I like people who are mentally disciplined. Somebody who goes through hardship but doesn't allow it to interpret in their lives. If you were a soldier and you were caught in enemy territory, you were hiding behind a wall. The enemy is a few meters away, but the wall is concealing you. And all of a sudden, a cockroach drops on top of your head and starts crawling from your forehead, crawls around your eyes, crawls right through your nostrils, crawls around your lips, goes into your ears, goes into your shirt. If you want to live, Let the cockroach have his liberty. And for you to do that, for you not to react the way you've been doing, and throw the cockroach away, you have to have mental discipline. Your mind must be in control of the event, because at that time, you have to think of the option between the discomfort of a cockroach and the bullet of an enemy. Now, between those two, you must make a choice. Which one do you want? If you think the discomfort of the cockroach is a lesser punishment, then let it crawl all around your nose. But for you to survive, you must tell your mind, you are mind. You are under my control. And at this time, you will not allow me to act in a way that would betray me to my enemies for me to be killed. Remember, my friends, your mind is yours. It's not your father's, it's not your brother's. Your mind is yours. Your brain is in your head alone, not anybody's head. The processes of your brain are yours. They are not for anybody. Take charge of your mind. Because if you don't, your mind will play games with your life and destroy you in the end. Because many times we deal with mind games. And if you don't know how to deal with mind games, you cannot endure hardship in a disciplined life. And between the time of your promise and the fulfillment, you will lose the promise that God has given to you. So number one, endure hardship. Somebody say endure hardship. All right. Secondly, in addition to enduring hardship, we have to be able to endure hostility. Hostility. Hostility has to do with unfriendliness and antagonism. In a sense, hostility is also a military term. A hostile is a military term that is used to describe an opponent targeted for elimination. In life, many people will see you as a hostile, and they will be hostile towards you. Life, my friends, can be very harsh and hostile. I think we all learn that lesson the day we are born. When you come out of your mother's womb, from the safety of your mother's womb, surrounded by soft, nice, amniotic fluid, you come into the harsh world. You've never used your lungs before, but all of a sudden, you cannot live on mommy's lungs any longer. You have to breathe on your own. And that shock is what makes us cry our first cry. Yeah! It's not exciting. Your parents are happy. Oh, he cried. He's not crying because he's happy. He's shocked. Because the child says, what world is this? All of a sudden, everything is light. There are voices. There are people. It's cold. The temperature is not maintained. For your information, my friends, the world can be very hostile. But we have to learn to endure hostility. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 to 4, we are told about Jesus and how he also endured hostility. It says, for consider him, that is Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Jesus endured hostility from people around him. Hostility can come in different forms. It can come in ridicule, people making fun of you, mocking you. Sometimes it comes in rejection. Sometimes it comes as threats. Sometimes it's treachery. Sometimes it's pure blackmail. Whilst you are waiting for your promise, you must be able to endure hostility. The hostility against Jesus started even before he was born. Right through the time he was born, through to the time he was called into the ministry, through to his temptation, through to his encounters with people. Everywhere he went, somebody wanted to get him. It was a hostile world. Eventually, it led to his death. But God raised him up again. It's a hostile world out there. If you're going to endure and receive your promise, you have to endure hostility. How do you do that? If you're going to endure hostility, you have to learn to deal with rejection and contradictory evidence. Those two things are important: rejection and contradiction. No matter who you are, there will be people who will reject you. If you're looking for acceptance in this world, sorry, you came to the wrong planet. Go to Mars, where there's nobody and everybody will reject you. But if you found your way to the planet Earth, get ready for rejection. People are going to reject you for many reasons. Some because they are intimidated with you. Some because they feel insecure. Some because they think you don't measure up. They think you're not gifted enough. You're not talented enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not smart enough. You're going to be rejected. Whoever you are. If you are nice, you are rejected. You're not nice, you're rejected. You are handsome, they'll reject you. You are ugly, they reject you. If you are intelligent in school, you get rejected. If you are the one who is carrying the whole class, you get rejected too. If you are the best worker, you get rejected. If you are the worst worker, you get rejected. No matter what you do, you cannot avoid rejection. Somebody is going to say, somewhere is going to say, who does he think he is? Get away. Somebody is going to say that to you. It's called rejection. People are going to underestimate you. And you have to deal with that. It's hostility. And not only that, you have to deal with contradiction. When the reality of your life doesn't conform with your expectation, that's hostility. In your heart, you believe you are great, but your surroundings tell you you are nothing. In your heart, you believe you are the head, but your reality is you are the tail. It's called hostility and contradiction. Jesus is the Son of God, but he's being treated like a criminal. Can you imagine if you were the Son of God? You have the power to call down angels for reinforcement, and you are nailed between two thieves. In your heart, you know you are the Son of God. In your heart, you know you have power. But around you, people are mocking you and making fun of you, and they're rejecting you. And even the thief has the audacity to insult you. And yet, you have the discipline not to respond. It's called endurance. If you're going to respond to everybody who rejects you, you'll be writing too many rejoinders. If you're going to respond to everybody who says something nice about you, you will spend the rest of your life explaining yourself. You will never spend any of your life fulfilling your dream. If they reject you, deal with it. The Bible says concerning Jesus, he came to his own and his own rejected him. But as many as received him, that's the good thing about it. Whilst people are rejecting you, there are as many as who want to receive you. Don't spend all your life trying to please those who are rejecting you. Spend your life looking for as many as will receive you. Because somebody will reject you, but somebody will receive you. Somebody will say you are ugly. Somebody say you are the beautiful woman he's ever set eyes on. Look for that one. Because believe you me, the people who reject you, you can't please them. That's the secret. Don't tell anybody. Those who reject you, you can't please them. You can catch your head, present your head on a silver platter to them. They will say your head is too crooked. Don't try to please them. But you have to deal with that. Don't be ignorant of the snares and traps set around you. It's a hostile world. When people are hostile, they plan for the elimination of their hostiles. And it is naive to go through life thinking that people are as harmless as you want them to be. Even harmless people can turn ugly and destructive when their survival is threatened. Animal behaviorists tell us that most of the time snakes bite not because they are vicious, but because they feel threatened. You've come to their space and they feel you want to destroy them, so they bite you. Even nice, good people can bite when they feel threatened. Just get to a place and threaten the person who was there before. The person is not doing a good job. You try and do a good job. And that nice officer, who everybody says is the nicest man in the office, all of a sudden feels threatened because a new worker has come and his job is on the line. You will be shocked at the stories you hear about yourself. Life is not as simple as we wish it to be. It's a hostile world. You knew it when you were born. That's why you cried. Don't forget, there are traps set for you. There are pits that have been dug for you. Whilst you are nicely, innocently living your life and say, as for me, I don't want to trouble anybody. Somebody wants to trouble you. You don't want to trouble, but he wants to trouble you. Somebody is pursuing you, as harmless as you are, as nice and kind and gentle as you are. Somebody wishes you were out of the way because your presence is an obstruction to what they want to achieve in life. It's a hostile world. You have to endure hostility. So number one, you must learn to endure hardness. Number two, you must learn to endure hostility.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otterbill, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otterbill. Email otterbill@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.